coming. My name is Corwin. I am the co-founder and the designer of Bounties Network. We are just going to kind of introduce ourselves. We want to keep this super casual today and spend as little time talking as possible so that we can leave time to you guys ask questions. And as we get started on the workshop activities, which are, by the way, going to last until next Monday. The Bounties will be open until next Monday. We can get started on them today, let you guys ask some questions, and then give you guys help with any setup or anything if you need it. So, yeah. So, just to talk a little bit about Bounties Network. Bounties Network is a platform that allows individuals to create projects and incentivize other individuals to complete those projects and get paid in cryptocurrency. These sort of incentive mechanisms for a variety of experiments, and lately we've been trending towards working with organizations and community type structures to get those community leaders to incentivize their members to complete tasks, to complete projects, to provide feedback to each other. In a sort of decentralized manner, in a sort of open source manner. So the things we've actually done for DEF CON this year.
Sorry, could you project a little bit more?
Yes, sorry. One of the things that we've done for DEF CON this year is actually set up a Bounties Network specifically for this DEF CON. So if you go to japan.bounties.network, you will be able to see our Bounties Explorer, which is dedicated to with us conference specifically. There are already a ton of bounties up that anybody is welcome to complete and earn some ETH, some DAI for doing certain tasks around the conference. But this is also where we will be hosting the bounties that we've created for this workshop in particular. Here you can just find information about myself, and I'll let Zach introduce himself in the room.
Hi everybody, I'm Zach Kalman. I'm the project manager for Rimble. Rimble is an open source library of React components, design patterns, and UX guides to help you make dApps that everyone can use. The Bounties Network and Rimble are kicking off this little experiment in decentralized problem solving today with the goal of uncovering new UX patterns that might help improve dApp usability. Rimble is a research-driven offering, and we are constantly researching UX problems that are common among dApps and prototyping and testing potential solutions with users. And in doing that, we've uncovered a number of challenges that people in this room might be familiar with, but we want to bring a community around to coalesce around creative solutions. And so we're partnering with Bounties on this initiative to incentivize this collaborative generation of these creative and effective UX solutions in response to these bounties. So Corwin's going to talk a little bit about the bounties themselves, and then we'll get into the meat kind of substance of the prompts. And like Corwin said, we are going to try to keep this pretty casual and pretty quick because we want you guys to start talking about this. People in this room are going to do the interesting work here between now and Monday. So we want to make ourselves available for questions, but also just have you guys start to talk to each other about potential ideas as well. So Corwin's going to talk about kind of the structure a little bit of the bounties.
So for this workshop, we have four bounties that we've created for you guys to sort of take on. Just out of curiosity, who in this room has a interest or experience currently works as a designer?
Couldn't hear you because the door was open.
What?
Couldn't hear you because the door was open.
Okay. I'll say it again. Come on in. All right, so we have four bounties that we've created for this workshop, and they're centered around design and UX and front-end and usability for dApps. Can I get just a brief show of hands of who works in any of those areas or who has like a keen interest in any of those areas? Okay, cool. Great, so what we want to do as we introduce these bounties is encourage you, if you aren't, you know, extremely technical, if you don't have like a background in design, background in UX, I would encourage you all to still attempt to submit to these bounties. We're kind of structuring them so that you are being incentivized to participate, and then there's larger incentives for people who want to go that step further to kind of go above and beyond in their submission. So what I want to do is just talk about the submission requirements and the evaluation criteria as we introduce each of these bounties. So like Zach said, each of these bounties comes out of research that Rimble has done around usability problems that have been identified in dApps, common usability problems. And so we've created a prompt for for four of these usability issues that we've identified. And the first of these is onboarding new dApp users. So the submission requirements, and I'll just kind of go through this briefly and then show you what the other bounties are, because the submission requirements and evaluation criteria for each of these bounties is going to be fairly similar. Like I said before, we want as many people to be able to participate as possible. So the minimum requirements for a submission to each of these bounties is going to be a clearly articulated and written explanation of your solution. And the pain points that it attempts to solve from the prompt. And if possible, some sort of visual accompaniment to that written explanation to sort of help you explain what your solution is and how you came to it. Ideal submissions would include design files, illustrating user flows, prototypes, working demos, links to source code. Use of the Rimble component library is encouraged for those who are a little bit more technical and are curious or willing to experiment with that. It's really easy to get set up, and we have guys here that can help do that with you. For evaluation criteria, so this is how we're going to be evaluating each of the submissions to these bounties. I won't read through all of them there because they're available to you, but essentially, does your solution provide a new and improved approach to these common usability problems? And because of that, can we expect users to be able to accomplish the tasks they need to accomplish? Can the pattern be applied to a wide range of contexts? Not all dApps share the same usability concerns, but if you can come up with a solution that can be applied to more than one context, then that's always a plus. Implementation fidelity. So again, we want everyone to be able to participate. So technical implementations and high fidelity submissions are not a requirement. You can keep things simple. You can keep things your submissions limited to just expressions of ideas that you've thought through. But you get bonus points if your submission is particularly complete and well thought through and thorough and has deliverables that are attached to that submission that can kind of show off what you have thought of and what you built. And then the remaining criteria are going to be accessibility and error handling. So are your solutions accessible? And error handling, does it consider different states that the user might encounter when they come into contact with these patterns? These are more directed towards the more technical-minded folks in the room. So just to go through each of the prompts really quickly, so the first one is going to be about onboarding new dApp users. The second is going to be about smart contract interaction. Third is going to be about transaction states. And the fourth is going to be about the address exploration. So I'll let Zach kind of expand upon what each of those bounties are, what the prompts are, and how they sort of came to be, how the problems came about.
So we tried to put a pretty good amount of context into the text of the bounties themselves. So I'd encourage everyone, if you can, to open them up and read through. I'm not going to go through read through these line by line in the interest of time, but could be a helpful reference. So the first one here is onboarding new DAP users. Rimble's research has told us something that probably everyone in this room knows very well, that it is really, really hard for someone new to Ethereum to use a DAP. The typical onboarding workflow has tons of pitfalls and areas for potential failure, and abandonment, and frustration, and confusion. The process, usually at a high level, including something like connecting to a wallet, signing in to a wallet, adding funds, connecting the wallet to the DAP, and then proceeding to try to accomplish whatever they were originally attempting to do, is a process that we have seen lots of attempted solutions, some more successful than others, but we think we'd all agree that this is a major pain point and one that is certainly confirmed as a challenge through Rimble's research. Unfortunately for us, none of these are there's no one-size-fits-all kind of global onboarding solution, and each application brings its own context and its own user goals that it's trying to fulfill, and it's really having its own. Each application has its own conversation with the user, and this is where I plug my friend Ryan's workshop, I think on Thursday, on conversational design. Later on this week. So the challenge here is to create a reusable pattern or set of patterns to improve upon some aspect of the onboarding workflow. This could be a model of the entire onboarding process, or just a novel approach to some portion of it. We have a laundry list of relevant scenarios that could be accounted for here. Checking for Web3 cable in the browser, checking for a connected wallet, and different scenarios involved there. Checking for a specific network, signing a wallet message, funding the wallet in different ways, getting the balance of an ETH address, displaying current ETH price or current gas price. I just want to reiterate, we aren't saying this prompt is to create a perfect end-to-end onboarding flow. If you have that, that would be an amazing submission to this bounty. But improving in a novel way on any aspect or angle on that workflow is going to be valuable. And if collectively we're all doing that, we think that there's a tremendous opportunity.
There's also an opportunity for, if you have friends in the room or if you have any interest in collaborating, to sort of take these prompts piecemeal and sort of say, I'm interested in this part of the process, this person is interested in this part of the process. Is there an opportunity for us to collaborate on a solution in an attempt to submit something that's a little bit more high caliber, because there are going to be prizes that are larger than just the payout that you're going to receive for your submission being accepted, and I'll go over that at the end.
So the second prompt is on smart contract interactions. On-chain interactions with smart contracts typically introduce some levels of complexity that are greater than just a a basic wallet-to-wallet transaction experience for users. And product teams and users, end users, would all collectively benefit from having a set of consistent patterns for a lot of that common functionality associated with that process. Things that we've seen come up in our research, there are estimating gas costs, dealing with transaction time. But we've also looked at more complex end-to-end workflows like opening CDP. So similarly to the previous prompt, if you have a novel approach to any one aspect to smart contract interaction, user experience, whether that's just one of those types of individual functionalities such as estimating gas price, or a new approach to an entire workflow, opening a CDP, an ERC-20 token swap, all of those would be fantastic submission ideas for this prompt. So again, we've kind of included a little bit of a laundry list of possible ideas, but these aren't necessarily constraints, just a place to get started. The third prompt is on transaction states. This is another one that has come up over and over again in our user research, that nearly everyone we've talked to has expressed concern or lack of confidence around transactions. They're permanent, they're scary, they involve your money, and that creates a lot of tension and nervousness and anxiety among users. If you're in this room, you probably know to look at Etherscan or MetaMask to understand more about a transaction, but a lot of users who aren't as familiar don't know to do that. So how can we create a set of patterns that can that builders can use to provide a more informative experience that alleviates anxiety during the transaction process, to help people understand more about what is happening without overloading them with information, and accounting for different contexts. Some where more information is needed, some where less information is needed. So here we reference some potential, and we can get into it. It's okay. But some of those scenarios might be a user rejecting a transaction, or a transaction getting rejected for low gas, transaction stuck pending in the mempool due to low gas, resubmitting a transaction. So there's a lot of these kind of transaction-related scenarios that are severe pitfalls for the uninitiated user, and really strong opportunities here. And then the last prompt we have is around wallet exploration, wallet address exploration. We recently performed an inventory of patterns, UI patterns, among a pretty wide number range of dApps for displaying information associated with an Ethereum address in the dApp. And we got this just huge sprawling variance in type of information. Some were very simple displays of just an address and a balance, and some were these rich displays of information, including tokens and other assets and transaction histories and currency conversion, lots and lots and lots of information. Again, each dApp has its own context and its own need, and these are all potentially very valid approaches, but we would all benefit, I think, from more consistent patterns for displaying information associated with the wallet address in a dApp. And how can we start to create some of those models that, recognizing each dApp has its own context, but can we create elements that are recognizable to users and start to build some more of that confidence. So things we, possible scenarios to account for here, might be wallet balance, recent transactions, I mentioned tokens, currency conversion to fiat, adding funds through through an on-ramp, those sorts of things. So again, we wanted to keep this short and put a lot of this into the bounties themselves, because really we don't see this moment as what's important. What we see, where the value we see coming, is in the work that hopefully you guys are going to do over the next week. And we are here to answer questions now. We're going to be, around to answer questions this week. Please feel free to put comments on the bounties themselves. We'll be keeping an eye on those. On Twitter, really wherever you can reach us, we will be here to answer questions.
Yeah, so just a few more housekeeping things before we open it up to any questions that you guys might have. So some requirements, well actually let me talk about the prizes first. So I've gone through some of the evaluation criteria for how we're going to be judging the submissions that anybody chooses to submit with their bounty fulfillment for any of these prompts. You're welcome to do one, you're welcome to do all of them. But basically, depending on that, or based on that evaluation criteria, your submission will either be accepted or it won't. If it is accepted, you will receive the amount that is needed in the payout for the bounty, which is around $5, 0.03p. And this is just meeting, having your submission be accepted, that meets the minimum requirements again. So this is submissions that meet some of the criteria will likely be accepted. You don't need to hit, check every single box, because there are some of these evaluation criteria that are more geared towards the technical folks in the room. There's kind of a second tier of prizes that we want to give out for exceptional submissions. So these are going to be submissions that meet most, if not all, of the evaluation criteria. Sort of submissions that we see go above and beyond to provide demos, prototypes, examples of things that are maybe particularly innovative, particularly thoughtful, particularly thorough. And so for each prompt, what's going to happen is there's going to be a first prize winner and a second prize winner. The first prize is going to receive 0.54 ETH, and that's equivalent to $100 at the time of the activation of this bounty. And the second prize is going to receive 0.27 ETH, which is equivalent to $50 US. So we just really want to encourage, we had that lower tier incentive because we want to encourage everyone to participate, earn some ETH, have fun, talk to your colleagues about solutions that you have, ideas that you have. But then we also want to incentivize people that want to take that step further and really go deep and explore solutions to some of these really common usability problems that we've identified. So some of the things you're going to need to participate are going to be a wallet, and you're going to need to set up an account on Bounties Network. The sign-up process for an account on Bounties Network is really straightforward. You essentially just link your wallet, provide a minimum amount of information. It's really kind of up to you what information you want to provide. And once you've done that, you are free to submit to any of these bounties once your submission is ready. And again, there's a comment section on each of the bounties where you're welcome to ask questions. I will be receiving those since I was the one who created the bounties, but we're going to be sort of collectively addressing each of those questions, and those conversations can start on the bounties, or you can get in touch with us, via Twitter or what have you, and we will get back to you. We'll sort of be in conversation throughout the duration of the bounties active timeline, which again is until next Monday. Also, we also encourage people to comment on other people's submissions. If you see someone submit something, and because all of the submissions are going to be visible to everyone that's participating in this workshop, if you see someone submitting some solution, you know, tell them what you think about it. Tell them, ask them questions. Ask them, have you thought about this? You know, because that really kind of opens doors and opportunities for collaboration, which is really what Bounties Network is all about. You know, our focus is on community, our focus is on collaboration, and sort of incentivizing that and encouraging that, and seeing which ways we can use those mechanisms. So please, you know, be as active as you can be, and don't hold back. So yeah, that's it. Any questions, feel free to ask. And as with the remaining time, if you want to stick around and start doing things like signing up for your account on Bounties Network, reading the prompts, you are perfectly welcome to do that, and we'll be around to help you do that. If you have any questions around setting up a wallet, setting up an account, and then we will also be around to answer questions about the specific prompts. But the prompts will be active for the next week, and you're welcome to work on them throughout the week. And once you reach the deadline, you will be accepting the submissions. You'll be receiving your email instantaneously once your submission is accepted. And then we'll be contacting the first place and second place winners to receive those higher tier prizes for those exceptional submissions. So, any questions? Yes.
What's the percentage of bounties that never gets even submitted to? Doesn't even get one submitted.
Never get submissions?
Yes.
Don't know that off the top of my head. But I can get back to you on that for sure.
Ballpark again?
Ballpark? Very few. Very few. A lot of the submissions, or a lot of the bounties that we create, or that get created on Bounties Network, are in partnership with individuals or partnership with organizations. And so, because we've kind of created that grounds for experimenting, since a lot of the bounties come out of partnerships or events or conferences or, you know, efforts like that, most of them see activity and see fulfillment. We don't see a lot of people at this point in time, since Bounties Network is very young and is still in a very much an experimental stage. We don't see a lot of people creating bounties just on their own. So like, you don't see a lot of people saying, hey, I'll pay you 0. whatever ETH to bring me pizza, and that actually happening. Although you could do that, you know, very easily. Hopefully that answers your question.
Hi, my name's Jody Rich. We run a conference in New York in February all about NFTs for developers. And we'd love to talk to you about your great work on bounties for our audience. My question, and maybe it's for the room, is $5 enough to get an engineer to actually make a submission, and is $50 and $100 a big enough prize?
That's a good question.
Designer.
What do you people think?
No. That was my second question.
So, the reason we started off with like a lower submission payout for like the individual submissions is a couple reasons. One is because the minimum sort of requirement for a submission is basically writing a paragraph about what you think of a potential solution for something would be, and maybe including a sketch of what that looks like, something very low fidelity. And so, you know, for those less technical-minded people, we want to be able to reward them with something. But we also recognize that for the people that are going to be spending more time and more effort in their submissions, that, you know, that's where that higher tier reward comes in. But this is actually a really great point, because this is a problem that exists in the world of contest-style freelancing, I guess is what you could call it. where, you know, you have a lot of people working who are not guaranteed to receive payment for anything, right? This is something that is a huge problem on platforms that you see like Fiverr, platforms that you see like Upwork, you know, things like 99 Designs, where, you know, there's hundreds of people submitting their work, hundreds of people spending hours doing these things, and they're not getting compensated. That's something that we really care about. It's something that we don't have a solution for right now. It's something that we want to work towards a solution for. So I just want to make sure to say that. I also want to say that we are the type of platform and organization that is happy to have this conversation. And if you in the room feel like you want to like discuss openly about what a more reasonable payout would be for like those just initial budget submissions, and as well as what those prizes might be for those exceptional submissions, let's talk about it, and we're totally willing to increase those and change those. We're also willing to extend the deadline if you guys feel like the time that's given is not enough. I will say one thing that we did talk about was maybe changing the prize to be a range and taking into account the time and effort that has gone into the submission, and paying the first prize amount, increasing the first prize amount to account for those kinds of things. So let's definitely have those conversations. We're totally open to it. We're not, you know, we don't want anyone to feel like their hard work has gone unrewarded. And this is a problem that exists across all sorts of platforms that are, you know, sort of attempting to solve this distributed, remote, decentralized work problem space. And that's a conversation that we're interested in continuing to have.
Take the vote. Have the room vote on the question. I answered alone, but let's see what the others say as well.
Yeah, who thinks that $5 is enough? Anyone?
So I think a better question than is $5 enough for a submission? Because ultimately my submission could be a paragraph in this crappy 2-minute sketch, which, you know, I think that's fair. Do you think it would be reasonable to maybe introduce like additional tiers for with additional criteria? Is that more reasonable?
I think the submission reward could be zero, and it would be still okay. The problem for me is like, well, I work as a designer, I know my hourly rate.
Right.
You mentioned the winning solution should include demos and prototypes and explanation of error states, and that's many hours. And the best case scenario of $100 doesn't cover almost like a single hour.
Right.
And on top of that, there is a risk that I will not even get that.
Right.
So I'm looking at that into hours times risk multiplier, and that equals no.
Okay. Yeah, that's totally fair. You know, one thing, we had 111 people sign up for this workshop, which obviously there's not 111 people in this room, which is good, which is great. We can be a little bit more flexible with this. So I hear you, and I agree with you. As a designer, I agree with you. As a designer, you know, as we attempt to solve problems specifically for, you know, like spaces like design, you know, and where those kinds of projects and workflows and careers, like, where do those fit into platforms like this, and how do you address the problems that are innate to those spaces, you know, again, you want to make sure that it's fair. Also, one thing we're considering, and this is not an excuse, but one thing we are considering is that we are like at the bottom of a bear market and offering half an ETH for, and you know, there's like that potential that, you know, who says that it's never gonna, or who says that they know anything about the price of ETH, right? But yeah, so let's like have that conversation. Let's change the reward amounts. I want everyone who participates to feel like it's fair and to feel like that they're not just doing this for nothing. Because ultimately, if that's how everyone feels, then no one's going to do it right.
One of the challenges with the, you know, making the criteria somewhat burdensome is that when we're talking about the challenges with user experience in some of these areas, issues like error states are where those a lot of those user failures are happening. And so that was our rationale for elevating that as to the kind of the top level of evaluation criteria. Normally that would probably be something kind of as an app, something like an afterthought in a competition like model. But just in the research that we've done, that's where we see a lot of users failing. And so we don't want that to be left behind in some of these solutions. So I guess there's a little bit of an inherent tension in doing that, but not necessarily make, but how do we make that worthwhile? Maybe the answer is to make some of those evaluation criteria a little bit more flexible, so that, you know, when we say, how is it handling errors, maybe maybe we remove that from the like critical acceptance criteria, but introduce it more as part of the prompt to recognize that's part of the critical problems that we're solving. So not necessarily saying you have to have comprehensive error state coverage in this demo or something like that.
Can I change the topic just for a minute?
Yeah, ask
you a question, Zach. I understand the problem that you're trying to solve with Rimble is to bring in, you know, non-blockchain users and to try and make the experience much easier for them. I've just tried to use the Rimble app demo on my phone, and it says your browser doesn't support our blockchain features. And I'm just wondering why you assume that I have to have a wallet to be able to use your tools. You must have put a lot of thought into that. Why do I have to have a wallet to use your tools?
Well, that, that particular, you don't have to use, that is a demo of wallet-specific components featured in Rimble. That's not Rimble's public-facing website or documentation or anything like that. The tool is the component library itself for developers. It's meant for people in the room to build tools for end users.
No, but I think one of the big mistakes we make as a community is we assume that people, A, understand what a wallet is, and B, that they want to have a wallet. And I think that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. We completely agree.
Absolutely.
We completely agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we're at the point, at this point in time, what can be tech, like practically right now, what can we implement that's not what we already have, which is wallets and the restrictions that those provide.
We have a guide on a UX guide on connecting to a wallet that I think better articulates our recommendations there.
I also want to say, recently Bounty Network has introduced meta transactions that allows for new users who haven't gone through the process of acquiring ETH to still be able to fulfill a bounty. And basically what we do is like we subsidize the gas fees for those users. And so that's an example of like a first step, right?
Totally. That's really cool.
Exactly. And that's like something that we're looking to expand and to continue to experiment with, is how can we use mechanisms like that? Because obviously, you know, there is a cost to the network, and the, you know, in the future, hopefully people will recognize the benefits outweigh the cost of things like gas and whatnot. But until then, there are things like meta transactions that we can use to sort of offload some of that, take some of that pressure off.
Or use a side chain.
Yeah. So that's one thing we're talking about as well.
Did you give any insight about the bounties on the engineering perspective?
because when you take a question for a broader answer, and you have a lot of contributions to that, you can have a lot of overlapper on work.
Yeah.
If somehow, I it's a very hard thing to do, but if somehow you can make the questions more specific and go filling them with that, instead of having a few options with a broad scope that would really take a lot of time, like we have said, well, there could be like 20 or even 100 of tasks that are going to be completed and I don't need to work on them anymore. So in a few minutes, or at most a few hours, I can make a contribution that I am very sure it's going to be a concise and very good usage contribution for what you guys are asking. It's much more secure for me to contribute with a specific subject than try to win a prize for a very broad subject.
Sure. So breaking out each of the prompts into more specific bounties that have like more limited and specific criteria is, I think.
Yeah.
Just to build on this point, I think the issue is just working within the creative fields is harder to bounty those type of tasks in the first place.
Absolutely.
So I think if you guys came to the front of the room and said, hey, guys, we're going to do this for free, everyone would be willing to do it. As soon as you put a $5 value, as humans, we want consistency in our thinking and how we view ourselves. So $5 makes me feel attacked out of the. Whereas you said, hey, do it for free, I'd be gung-ho about it.
And sure.
I think everyone would be working right now instead of having these conversations.
Sure.
So maybe you guys have to kind of go back and look at what type of tasks are actually
absolutely
geared towards bounties and what
absolutely
doesn't really work in that
100%. Context. And that's like something that we're trying to figure out,
yeah,
right? And that's something that, like, I want to say, first of all, that I, like, fucking love hearing all of this back from you guys, because it's insight into how we can evolve the product and how we can, you know, it's affirming to hear you guys echo the same skepticism that I have towards the platform that I'm building, right? For things like, you know, competition style anything, really, and what, you know, what is it, how do you make that fair? Can you make it fair? How does it apply to specific skill sets? Does it work for some and not for others? You know, these are all questions that we're attempting to ask. And that's why we're, the Bounty Network in particular, is kind of shifting our focus less on the sort of like competition style, like freelancing platform, and more about like engaging with communities and getting communities to incentivize their community members to participate in some sort of collaborative action. That sounds different than something like Fiverr, you know, which is like pay $5 and you get a logo. That's not what we want bounties to be, and that's not the direction that bounties are moving in. And so that's where if you have a chance, just kind of, I'd love it if you guys could go on and just check out some of the projects that we've done that are more like community oriented and getting partners and communities to work with us to incentivize community members to do things that benefit the community. This exercise in particular does resemble a little bit more of that competition kind of thing. Part of that comes from the fact that we have like sort of this restriction of this like workshop type of event, and so that's not necessarily, we're not necessarily saying that that's
ideal
in this case. Yeah.
So what if we just get paper and some stuff and here start just drawing out things and then in an hour say, okay, this is what we come up with, maybe that's an idea, just get your hands dirty and do something.
Yeah, well, you have a week to do that, and if you...
Yeah, the thing for me is I don't have a week, because I have a very
sure
short schedule.
Yeah.
So I don't know if everybody here has a whole week to spend, but I would love to spend now an hour with some people to come with creative solutions.
And yeah, you're absolutely welcome to do that. And for the people who want to continue to engage in the context of conversations around these problems, like, I'd love to continue talking to you about that stuff. Because those are the problems that we're trying to solve, and they're hard, and there's no clear answers. And so, yeah, I really appreciate everyone's feedback.
To build on what Akhil said, I agree 100%. and I agree with him as well. I would do this a breakout rather. And you're probably putting it on the wrong perspective. Like Akil was right saying that if you put a price on it, you're making it kind of an insult. You should maybe focus on the intrinsic motivator, like give something beyond the money, like credit. I don't know. If you are going to put somewhere the visibility of somebody who has found the solution, that is maybe for a designer as that is entering the space,
right,
a better solution than $5.
Right, right.
Also, in this space, we are like 200 designers and we know all each other. It's a hyper-technical space. And we know that you need to know a lot. You need to have studied a lot. So it's a very specific kind of designer that can tackle these questions that you have. So it's for specialized designers. And again, if you put a price on it, you're pricing it wrong. Until you put the right price on it. But, so
yeah, part of the goal in doing it this way was to try and get people that aren't necessarily that don't necessarily fall into that category. And so, you know, we wanted people to come and participate and to help to think about these problems with us, who may be like first-time DAP users or whatnot. Who do run into these problems, who maybe have like limited experience with DApps, but have run into these problems before and have thoughts about them that they would like to share.
So can I just add, sorry, what's your name?
Beltran.
Beltran. Cameron and I are running a conference in 5 months in New York, and if there are any designers who would like an incentive or bounty program that fits what you think is right, we are completely open to an experiment in February this year in New York. And so if you think we can do something that's better than $5 or $0, please tell us, because we would love to run a bounty program during NFT NYC that suits what the community thinks is right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's
chat. Cool. Well, with that, I think we'll just kind of let you guys go. If you feel like you want to stay or have any questions about like the bounties in particular, the bounties network in particular, feel free. And again, these would be. I want to have a place to continue this discussion for those who care to continue the discussion around things like pricing and fair rewards and things like that. So let's, what would be the best way to do that? Anybody off the top of their heads? Some kind of Slack channel or Telegram group or something like that. I know everyone's in a million of those already, but this, all of this feedback is valuable to me and I'm interested in hearing it and collecting it.
Let's put up a free bounty on the bounty network.
All right, I'll do that today.
And have Steven Pink redeem it. He wrote a book on this.
That's right. You're right.
Okay, it's called Drive, Autonomy, Mastery, and Purpose. Those are the three drives, especially for creative kind of tasks, for which he proves also that, research proves that motivating through extrinsic motivators like money, it's wrong. You will not get the results as if you're using intrinsic motivators, which is why I was suggesting you should look for other rewards or payouts.
Sure.
Could we talk about
that?
Sure.
How many bounties we can join? You can join the bounty Slack. So if you go to the bounties network site, actually, that would be a great place to do it. I am actually going to do what you're suggesting. I'm going to put up a bounty to continue this conversation and just have people that want to participate in the conversation submit. And then there's also, you have the option to join our Slack, which is like a community Slack that that the bounties team has. And we'd love to engage with you about these kinds of difficult problems on there.
Is there like a Ripple X Bounties channel or something?
I can take one.
We can.
Okay.
Yeah. And we recognize, you know, this was a very thoughtful discussion. We hope you recognize we are kind of operating within the constraints of the conference schedule, and that drove a little bit of the structure and planning this to be a week-long kind of asynchronous thing as opposed to more of a dedicated in-person session. We'd love to spend that time too. And like I said before, we are going to be here. So, you know, grab one of us and we'd love to talk and encourage all of you guys to spend some time together if you are interested in participating. And we really look forward to seeing what people can come up with, and appreciate everybody's participation.
Perhaps before people leave the room, you could write out the prompts on the board, and if people want to kind of coalesce around those topics or collaboration later,
yeah,
that could be a good opportunity.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, everyone.